My heart started racing as my gaze trekked to the rearview mirror. My brown eyes seemed too big and wide at the moment. I looked freaked out, and I was. Taking a deep breath, I grabbed my purse and opened the door of my Honda, stepping out. Cold air immediately coasted under the thin sweater I wore as I closed the door behind me. I inhaled deeply, surrounded by the scent of freshly cut grass. I took a step toward the inn I'd grown up in and hadn't seen in years. It was the way I remembered. Wind stirred the vacant rockers. The bushy ferns that hung from late spring to early fall were gone. The clapboard was painted a fresh white. Shutters a deep forest green and my throat dried. Tiny bumps raced across my skin, lifting the wisps of blonde hair at the nape of my neck. An awful, surreal feeling slammed into my gut, my breath caught in my throat once more. The feeling was like a slick, too heavy caress down the center of my back. The nape of my neck burned like it had when he would sit behind me. Pivoting around, I scanned the front yard. Tall hedges lined the property. It was a decent distance from Queen Street, the main road cutting straight through the town, but I could hear the cars passing by. No one was out here. I turned full circle. No one was on the porch or in the yard. Maybe someone was at one of the windows or the inn. But I was alone out here, despite the way my pulse pounded or what instinct screamed at me. I focused on the green hedges again. They were so thick, someone could be hidden behind them, watching and waiting for. Stop it. I closed my free hand into a fist. You're being paranoid and stupid. Just stop it. No one is watching you. But my heart didn't slow down, and a fine tremor coursed through my tensing muscles. I reacted physically and without thought. I panicked. Icy claws of terror sunk deep into my chest, and I ran. Ran from the side of my car and into the inn. Everything was a blind blur as I hit the stairs and kept running, all the way to the upper level. There, in the quiet and narrow hallway, outside the apartments, above the inn, out of breath and feeling sick, I dropped my purse on the floor and bent over, clasping my knees as I dragged in deep, uneven breaths. I hadn't stopped to notice if the inn had changed in the years I'd been absent. Hadn't stopped to find my mother. I'd run like there were demons snapping at my heels. And that was how this felt. This was a mistake. No, I whispered to the ceiling. I leaned against the wall and smoothed my hands down my face. This isn't a mistake. Lowering my arms to the wall, I forced my eyes open as I dragged in a deep breath. Of course I would have a strong reaction to returning home, to coming back here after everything had happened. When I left, I'd sworn I'd never come back. Never say never. Those three words had been cycling over and over from the moment I'd made the decision to return home. I almost couldn't believe I was actually sitting here, that I'd done what I'd said I'd never do. As a child, I'd been convinced the inn had been haunted. How could it not be? The Georgian-style mansion and the adjacent carriage house were older than dirt, used as a part of the Underground Railroad and rumored to have been occupied by injured and dying soldiers after the bloody Battle of Antietam. Floorboards creaked throughout the night. Cold spots lingered in rooms. The old, dimly lit servant's staircase had creeped me out like nothing else. Shadows always seemed to slink along the wallpapered walls. If ghosts were real, then this inn, the Scarlet Wench, should be full of them. And as a 29-year-old, fully grown woman, I was still convinced it was haunted. Haunted by a different kind of ghost now. What roamed those narrow halls on the upper levels? Tiptoed across polished floors and hid in the darkened stairwells was the old Sasha Keaton, from 10 years ago, before the groom came to the town where nothing ever happened and destroyed everything.